In this whole experience of the tree of knowledge, we need to realize that it's all about our minds and the way we see things. And we need to come back to how God is seeing it. So often people will go for spiritual warfare. They will go and see what is the demon's names and all these things. But very seldom they will go to the Bible and say, okay, how do I overcome this and how do I overcome that? That is why people often say, I just don't have enough faith. That is why I struggle with fear. And we need to come to that place to say, what does God say? So in that perfect love, we need to understand what is the source that Satan is using. And we need to come back to that source of Satan. I want to come back to Genesis 3 verse 6 because that was the first encounter with that direct spiritual fighting on earth. And in Genesis 3 verse 6, it says, now the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a thing of lust for the eyes, and that the tree was desirable for imparting wisdom. So she took of its fruit and she ate. She also gave to her husband who was with her, and he ate. And if we look at that scripture, we will be able to identify how Satan is actually working with you. There was words exchanged between Satan and Eve. And she stood her ground the whole time. But the moment her eyes saw what was in front of her, she lost her vision of God. So often, we are looking at the world. We know the scripture, we quote the scripture. But often, we live and believe the scripture according to our understanding and our circumstances. My God will supply all my needs. How often do you bring that scripture in line with your circumstances? God has given us not a spirit of fear. How often do you bring that in connection with your spirit life? See, we know the scripture. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But you've got all these needs. We always bring scripture in line with our circumstances. Because we're not settled in that perfect life. So the first thing she did, she saw. And that vision that she had caused something inside of her that's more than what she had up to that moment. Just think about that. If she didn't see the tree, she was satisfied up to then. She was absolutely satisfied with what she had up to then. That tree was there the whole time. The whole time that tree was there. But she never had a desire for that tree. But the moment she just let go of her eyes and she saw the tree, something inside of her changed. And so often, when we look at circumstances, the moment our eyes start to see what is going on around us, something in us wants that. That is why they say, the Joneses. We're looking at the Joneses. I want that position. I want this. I want that. But where is God in all of this? Will I be able to glorify God in that I'm willing to see? Am I willing to still glorify God to the same level? Will I be able to glorify God? So many people go into a position at work. And when they're there, they cannot worship God. It takes too much of them. And then they say, but I should never have done that. But then it's too late. So she saw that something happened, and then it actually brought a desire. And it's the moment you carry a desire inside of you that nothing can satisfy you. So you hear the words, you change your vision, it becomes something that's inside of you, and then the desire is there, and you will not stop. Even if you have to step on people until that desire is fulfilled. But if you really think about it, before you knew about this thing, you were okay. And I'm not saying it's wrong to see something new, but if that actually imparts different wisdom than God has given you inside of you, you're out of line. And then she took out the fruit and it becomes part of her. And the more you think about something, the more your whole body starts to flow and act and react on your thoughts. So the whole rhythm of your body is according to that you think of. You determine the rhythm of your body. You determine the rhythm that's inside of you. The more you function in God, the more your rhythm in your body, the DNA rhythm, according to the perfect balance and peace, is 582 hertz. It's medically been proven. You can go and read that. 582 hertz. 5 is grace, 8 is a completion, and 2 is unity. God wants us to function on that. And we need to come back to God's perfection. The moment your body is out of balance, your body functions on the number 666 hertz. It's medically proven. I rest my case. I'm not a big movie fan, but I want to bring one movie in that is probably now on DVD. Who of you have seen Hacksaw Ridge, that movie? H-A-C-K-S-A-W, Hacksaw Ridge. It's based on a true story. How many of you will be able to go through what that man has gone through? He made a promise to God, I will not touch a gun. And through all the persecution, he stood by that, at that promise. How many of you have promised God you will wake up 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the morning and pray? If your life determined on that, would you do it? That man stood his ground. It cost him. But single-handed, he saved 75 people's lives. Single-handed. With nobody to protect him except his God. And all he was saying, God, give me strength for one more. I'm not a person that will cry easily. But I nearly cried. God, just give me strength for one more. Bleeding hands. God, give me strength for one more. You're moaning about your family. You're crying about friends that's not there. Have you ever, just what he did and said, God, give me strength for one more friend. To pray 4 o'clock in the morning just for this one more soul to save him. Or are you blaming and complaining and looking at something different and your desires are fulfilled to sleep a little bit longer and to moan and groan more? We miss the perfect love of God because our own knowledge and desire is so much stronger and we judge according to our tree of good and evil. Solomon was the wisest man on earth except Jesus Christ. But do you know that Solomon never asked for wisdom? So many of us think that Solomon actually asked for wisdom. He didn't. 1 Kings 3 verse 9 says, that is the cry of Solomon. So give your servant a mind of understanding to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? He never asked for wisdom. He asked for understanding. Because if you can understand where things are coming from, it's easier to function and to make a decision. But even though he understood things, it still brought him into trouble. Because he had understanding how to judge according to the earthly realm, but never to the heavenlies. And what's interesting about Solomon is God made a covenant with Solomon in his dreams. Solomon was not awake. How often do we get dreams and God is warning us and we just think, oh, give me an interpretation. But in the meantime, it was a warning. But now we want that interpretation and we go to all these people. Instead of saying, okay, God, you've warned me. In Solomon's dreams, God made a covenant with him and said, I will give you understanding and wisdom. But again, that understanding, the tree of the knowledge, the tree of understanding of good and evil, helped him to judge the people. But it did not stop him from going to the witch of Endor. Why? Because he did not have the Spirit. He did not have the Spirit of God. He had the insight of God. He had the understanding of God. He had the wisdom. So often, we ask God, give me understanding. But if you're going to start praying like God, give me perfect love, the rest is natural. But often we want wisdom so that we know what to do with the circumstances. It's always about our circumstances, about the situation around us. We never function in glorification to God. If we function with everything to say, God, I want to lift you up, then you function in perfect love, and then the rest will flow easily. Then you will walk across things, and they will not touch you. But often we come to a place and say, God, give me wisdom, give me understanding. We want all these things. Give me hope, give me faith. When are we going to start to pray and say, God, give me perfect love? Remember what I said? That girl said, because she didn't have the Spirit, she was saved, she was going to heaven. But because she did not have the Spirit, I gave her one of mine. See, it's easy to transfer spirits. But do you know what? I love them to touch me because I know I'm standing in an anointing. If they don't touch me, bad luck for them. They're going to have an encounter with God. I'm not afraid of that. So often we say, don't lay hands on me, don't pray for me. I'm sorry, come and lay your hands on me because I know I'm standing in the presence of God. If you are not in line and order with God, you're going to have an encounter. But what do? We back off. And what do? We give ground to Satan. Do you know when they're going to touch you the most? When you're in a grocery shop. When you're walking on the streets. That is where they're going to touch you the most. But we're not afraid that they touch us there. No, we're only afraid in church. So what's the difference? Where has Satan got so much hold of us in fear that even in church we're afraid and we back off? Instead of saying, God, let's come in unity in the same anointing that there is upon you. We need to come back to that place. We are so sure in God that no matter what will happen, we will have that certainty that whatever what is in me will touch you and bring you to a strong place. The Satanists believe that. And there was a group that sang that song, Outcries. They were singing that song one time and there was a witch in the congregation. She was there to try to change the atmosphere. And while they were singing that song, she had a pentagram under her blouse, on her stomach. A satanic pentagram. And while I was singing it, it became hot, burning hot, and it broke. She screamed because she was trying to get rid of this thing. She couldn't change the atmosphere. In the Emirates, I was in the Emirates just now. He got the mind of understanding. God sent me there for a very specific reason. In the Emirates, when I was there in October, the Sheikh, the parliament there, said, the Pope is coming, so that I have to prepare the city and the country to be tolerant towards religion. And the Emirates is a Muslim country. And they've got a department of tolerance. They've got a department of joy. The lady, the 25-year-old girl that's running the department of joy, because the Emirates doesn't have joy. You can go and Google it if you don't believe me. They've got a department of tolerance. They're writing a book and say, we tolerate these religions. For the first time in 10, 15 years, Hillsong, London, sang in Emirates, in Dubai. Planet Shakers had a conference there. Liv Hartfelt is there, strong in healing. Martin Smith is singing there, all in the next month. He was also there. It's publicly now. As long as you just say for Christians. So you put out the flyer and say, only for Christians, and then all the Muslims come anyway. But what happened was, if they pray for, nobody's allowed to do anything. It must be quiet. So they opened. I wasn't there. My friends were there. They opened with prayer, and they were discussing, they were praying, and then the prayer course there. The prayer course about 2.5 minutes. And then, it was 2 nights. Open stadium, that was there. It was 41 degrees that day, so I don't know what was the evening temperature. They had about 8:30 that evening. So, open stadium, and for 2.5 minutes, 5,000 people jumped and shouted, Jesus is Lord. A mind of understanding shows you how there's a change in the atmosphere because sound has changed. A lot of things happened in October that while I was there, and I knew something was going to happen. And now a lot of things are happening. My friends say, I can't believe it. They were there for 25 years. For the first time, it's the one, it's back to back, back to back. Something changed. Why? Because people were praying. While we were there, we actually saw the fire at one place in 2009 that was desert. Now there's water. We went there and celebrate. Why? Because God starts to give them a mind of understanding that something happens there. They don't look at the circumstances anymore. God is changing hearts. I've just read Israel on the border of Syria. There's a hospital. And even the Lebanese is saying, God and Israel is helping us. Nobody ever thought that somebody will stand for Israel. Do you have a mind of understanding for what's happening in the spiritual realm, or do you have your own knowledge and your own thoughts? The moment you function in your own knowledge and your own thoughts, you're going to get into trouble like Solomon. Solomon, God made a covenant with him. He could rule the nation, but he did not have the spirit. Where is love inside of you? 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16. Who has known the mind of Adonai, that he will instruct him, but we have the mind of the Messiah. Adonai is back to covenant. We don't have the mind of God, but we have a mind that is anointed. Now, if you understand the elements of the anointing, you will understand your breakthroughs. Because the anointing oil that Moses used in the tabernacle shows you what God really wants to place inside of you. And we often only allow God to move in our spirits, but we don't allow God to change our minds. We need to change our minds so it can come back to God and not to what the world is influencing us. We need a mind of Christ, a mind of anointing. I've read the book, The Grace Outpouring. Very interesting book. A man that God sent in a very interesting way. He kicked and screamed not to go there. He kicked and screamed in all ways. And it was interesting. He did everything that he wanted not to go there. And God sent him to this place in Wales, nearly to Hallangon, to go and run a Christian retreat center. And they started off just blessing the place. Just blessing the place. And as they prayed and blessing the environment, the farmers received wealth. Water came back. The fountains of water opened up. The drug dealers moved out. And this Roy Godwin said, but God, why? He wanted to understand why. He's one of those men. I need to understand why. So he started to study why it is there. Because he had a mind to understand, but God has been given him a mind of anointing. So it's these two opposites. And while he was studying it, and he spoke to the villagers said to him, there was a revival in Wales in 1904 and 1905, but in this area, it never came to the fullest. The villagers' voice was, the revival is still in the ground. And as you bless it, it started to come out. The revival is filling the ground. And then he starts to understand, not with his mind, but with his spirit, what is happening. New Agers came there. They wanted to know what's going on. As you step onto the ground, there's an anointing that is amazing. They pray 4 times a day. They've got specific prayers. You can go there and you don't need to take part, or you can take part. And these two came and they wanted to be part of it, and they went into the chapel. And the moment they stepped into the chapel, they realized something's different. And they said, Jesus. And the moment they said, Jesus, they started to laugh. It was early afternoon, and they laughed, and they laughed, and they laughed. If they look at one another, it's just laughter. It's chaos. And instead of laughing, nobody touched them. Nobody touched them. They were going on like that up till 2:30 that morning. Then they've lost their voices. Everybody said, thank you God, now we can sleep. But they didn't want to stop saying Jesus because of the joy that was there. The one lady went there, she had very bad, not eczema, there was something else on her face. But it really had bad things on her face. But and she never wanted to go, she didn't mingle with anybody, she just withdrew into a room. And she heard about all these testimonies, and she said to God, but why don't you touch me? Why is nothing happening with me? Everybody gets healed, but I am still sick. And it was the last night, and she was fighting with God, and she heard clearly in her spirit, can wash yourself in the spring waters. And she said, no ways. It's middle of winter, it's freezing out there, the fountain that's there is frozen, it's snowing, how am I going to go out? And she heard again, can wash yourself in the spring water. And she refused. Again she heard, can wash yourself in spring water, and she refused. She showered. I can't remember if she showered before she went to bed or early the next morning. But when she got home, she realized, but my face is cleansed. And immediately she found herself, am I in trouble? Because God said I was washing in spring water, I'm healed, but I haven't done what he said. Please help me. Am I in trouble? I have to come back. And the lady just said to go on and on, and then she said to her, don't worry. All our water comes from the fountain, the spring water. See, her understanding was go to the fountain. She never realized all the water is coming from the fountain. See, do you have a mind of your own interpretations, or do you have the mind of the anointing? What is the mind that's inside of you? We need to come back and say, God, just anoint my mind. I need to say it like this and say, let your mind float in anointing oil instead of water. Because 70% of your brain is water. Ask God to replace that with anointing. If you understand the principles, the 5 elements of the anointing oil, you will understand that. The 5 elements of the anointing oil links directly to Ephesians 4, the 5 ministries. But we don't understand that. We don't bring the Old and the New Testament together. And that's why we don't have that mindset. Do you have a mind of anointing? See, what I said to you earlier. If they're going to touch me, bad luck for them. They're going to have an encounter with God. If it's now or it's in 2 years' time, you're going to have an encounter with God. God said to Joshua, everybody that crossed your footsteps, the part that you put your foot, that is my land. No matter who's going to cross it, that is your land. My principle is, God made me. I'm being made out of perfect love. So if I'm going to cross your path, you're going to have an encounter with perfect love. Why? Because I'm blessed. I'm not arrogant about that. God said I'm blessed. God has given me a mind of the anointing. So I'm blessed. Am I arrogant? See, that is, you're saved with going to salvation, but you don't have the spirit. Or you're saved with, I'm saved to make a change. And I'm going to make a change. What? I'm blessed. So cross my path, and you can experience the blessing. You can experience the perfect love. Now, I've got the mind of the anointing. But we back off all the time, and think we cannot make anything happen. The same God went, stepped into a man's office, God said, go and speak to that man. Go and speak to that man, and the man says, no, I don't think I need Christ. He said to him, okay, that's good. He's in that man's office. He was sharing with that man quite a bit about God. This man is filthy rich. Filthy rich. He's good in his business. He's well away. And Roy said to him, God says, you have to accept him. Your time is running out. This man says, no, man, I've got a lot of time. Don't worry about me. He says to this man, do you mind if you're just going to pray? And he says, no, I don't mind. And all of Roy says, God, will you show him your heart? And this man started to cry. He was not forcing anything. He was just saying, I'm here because God said I must be here. So God, he doesn't want to listen to me. Just show your heart. That's all. And that man started to confess and confess and confess and confess and confess. Without Roy saying anything. An encounter with God. What are you carrying inside of you that you can say, I want to share that with you? Sean Ball says, he's sitting in a meeting where a man stood up. He's thinking about the Jew, he doesn't know. But this man said, I am not necessarily the governor of the state, but I live in the state and I'm willing to be a father in this city. I'm willing to say, God, I will take responsibility as a father to help the city to change. How often are we as Christians taking responsibility for the area that we're in? Say, God, I will stand in as a father and a mother in the area that I am so that your presence can be shown. One mother can have 40 children if she wants to have children every year. It's not to have millions of fathers and mothers. It's one person taking responsibility and say, the perfect love that's inside of me, I'm willing to share that with that that's around me. But we're not taking responsibility because we are in a survival mode and we're not in the knowledge that God has given us. If we come to that place where God has placed us, we will make a change in the environment. But we struggle just to change ourselves. You are fighting in a survival mode at the moment. You're running from wisdom to wisdom, prophetic word to prophetic word. But you're not allowing God to step into your spirit, to bring a change in your spirit. It's only when there is a change in your spirit that your mind will change. Often, we follow all these things of quote this scripture, quote that scripture, do this and do that. And the New Ages and the positive thinkers are doing exactly the same thing. So it's not difficult to follow all these things. But the moment you allow God to step into your spirit and allow His spirit to flow through you, your mind will spontaneously change. Why? Because there's anointing in your mind. And you want to have this 1, 2, 3 steps that God has given us and say, okay, this is what I have to do. And this, why? Because you want to measure yourself. God has never measured Adam and Eve. God has not taught to measure you. Why do you want to measure yourself? Why do you bring yourself into a worldly environment? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil according to the worldly standards. God said, I've given you freedom. Take a listen, the price has been paid for you to move into the freedom. But we want to say, I first have to change my mind. Paul comes to the point and he says, I have tried everything, but I will not come back to you with words. Now I'm coming to you with spirit and with power. Because I didn't want to listen to him. And Paul was trained to debate the word of God. And we want to measure ourselves. We don't want to function in the fullness and the glory of God. Stop measuring yourself according to the church and to the world. And say, God, fill out of me, fill me with your spirit, fill me with perfect love. If you want to have change, that is the place that you need to go to and say, God, your spirit, your perfect love, let that flow through me. Even in whatever I say today, if you can get this one thing and it, God, change my spirit. If you really want change, let God change your spiritual perception. Let God change your spiritual understanding. Because your mind is flooded with information from the world out there. Your mind is flooded with the images that the world is giving you. And you are talking out of those images. You are thinking out of those images. We have never learned to think out of our spirits. If we can start to think out of our spirit, things will change. We were in a camp, Ellen was with me. We were at a church camp. And that one day, we played a song. And for 15 minutes, the whole congregation was praying in tongues. Am I right, eh? It was an amazing experience. For 15 minutes, in solid tongues. If we can start to function out of our spirits, we change the atmosphere and nothing can come against you. Nothing can come against you. But we try to change our mind and we work from the outside inwardly. And we struggle and we struggle because Satan will always attack your mind. You need to say, God, you formed me. You made life from the inside out. And we need to get our spirits to change from the inside outwards. And the moment our spirits are connected with God, everything will change. But we listen to people's words, as with Eve, she listened to people's words, she listened to Satan's actions, she listened to all those things, and nothing changed for her. She actually went deeper into a hole. It's the moment you get back. If you think about it, the disciples in John 20 were in the upper room, afraid, fearful, hiding inside that upper room. And all of a sudden, Jesus was there, and he said, peace to you. The first words Jesus said to the disciples after his resurrection, when you met him together, he said, peace to you. Peace to you. He said that twice. Why? Because they were controlled by fear. He first had to change their spirits before they were willing to understand with their mind what's happening. You need a change in your spirit with the life of God, that blowing of God, that fullness of God inside of you. If it's changed inside of you, life steps back. Fear kills. Life steps back. But we allow the words of people, the images of people, the images of the world to contaminate our minds, and we're fighting the battle in our minds. We need to come and say, God, let it flow from inside of me. And the moment it starts inside of me, then you will find this. For those who live according to the flesh, set their mind on the things of the flesh. Oh, it's facts we have to talk about. I need to understand what's happening on the earth. You're living out of the flesh. But those who live according to this Ruach, that means the Holy Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Ruach. Where is your mind? Is it on circumstances? Is it at work? Is it how your body feels? Or is it because of the Spirit of God? Is your mind still connected with the Spirit of God? Do you have a mind of the Holy Spirit? Because the moment you've got a mind of the Holy Spirit, you've got peace and life. But your body is decaying, your body is in pain, your body is struggling, you don't see hope. Why? Because you live out of the mind of your flesh. You live out of fear because of what people are saying, what people are doing. You never came to that place that you asked God to flow through you. Let me give you a testimony of this. It sounds out there. December, second week in December, a man phoned me out of the Emirates and say, Renee, I'm fired. He was trying to get a job. God gave him a job. He didn't know he was 3 months probation. He was ministerial position. And they said to him, sorry, we cannot do that. You have to move. And he cried. It's got so much reflection and so much trouble. There's a lot of things happening. A lot of things. And I said to him, just do the following. Now let me give you feedback. His wife had a second miscarriage. In September, she lost a twin. Second miscarriage. So, at that stage, he was still struggling for a job, or came job and everything. And he said to me, Renee, please help. What must I do? That was after he fought with his wife. His wife said, phone Renee. And he said, no, just help me. She said, phone Renee. So, eventually he listened. Sometimes it helps when men listen. But anyway, I said to him, start to bless everybody. You're in a bad situation. You function out of your pain. And they said he's critical. He's always looking for problems and all these things. And he doesn't see himself that way. It was around about the 15th, 12th to the 15th of December. I said to him, start to bless them. Forgive them and start to bless everybody around you. He did that. His wife was already in South Africa for holiday. He came over. And he had to start the 15th of January again. Work is last month. So by the 15th of February, he will be over. But in that period of time when he started to bless everybody around him, God showed him his critical spirit, his judgmental spirit, his attitude that he went into work. And he started to repent. But every day he was blessing everybody. They expected him to come back the 15th of January doing nothing. But he said, I'm going to give my best the last month. That means he's going to be without a working visa the last month. And he started to bless everybody. Long story short, the end of January, they asked him, are you willing to be a teacher part-time? Because we've got an opening there. He says, yes. 15th of December, you're fired. 15th of January, you don't need to do anything. The 30th of January, are you willing to be part-time? The 15th of February, he signed his permanent contract at that same firm. All that he started to bless. But God changed something from inside of him. He said to me, Renee, it is amazing how I see things differently. He says, even when I drive, I bless the people around me. He says, I don't see hopelessness anymore. I don't see despair. I see hope. I can actually bless and mean that. And he just started to bless. Why? He received the mind of the Holy Spirit. So now he's seeing things out of the Holy Spirit. Even in that, his wife got a job, a different job. She was released from the job, but she was unhappy. She had to book a 3-month clearance. They said that she can only do that. Immediately she had another job. They found a house. Their housing is cheaper than the housing that they had before. In his critical state, he didn't find a job place. Now he found a place that's cheaper. He said, Renee, all these things happen. And by the 1st of May, the day before I left, he gave me this whole testimony. He says, Renee, I want to bless everybody. He says, I'm excited. I've got hope for life. I see a future. I know things can work out. One phone call, and I said to him, start to bless. If you can bless out of your spirit for 90 days, that is the time of a harvest. You will see change. But can we? Do we have a mind of the Holy Spirit? We need to get changed from the inside out. We work with the tree of knowledge. Always from out of a worldly perspective. We need to come to the tree of knowledge from inside. We need to come from that side. And how do we do that? We allow the Holy Spirit to pray through us. We need to get the Holy Spirit to pray through us. Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Ruach helped in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Ruach himself intercedes for us with groans too deep for words. I'll give you two testimonies. This man on the street got saved. And he started to pray for people for healing. And everybody he prays for receives healing. So he goes into a hospital, he prays for a person, the person walks with him. Healed. And the people, the pastor in the area wanted to know, the one pastor, he said, no, you can come with me. Went into the hospital, got to this man, prayed with this man, talked to him, and the man says, okay, let's pray. And they close their eyes, and this man prays, like, A, B, C, D. The pastor says, whoa, okay, okay, that's the prayer. He says, yeah, that's my prayer. God knows how to put this, the alphabet letters. I don't know. And every time he prayed the alphabet over a person, they got saved. They got healed. He was praying out of his spirit. He was praying out of his spirit. Not from man perspective. How often are you feeling, I can't pray that good that that person is praying, so I'm not going to pray. See, the moment you stop praying, you actually stop changing the atmosphere. We think, oh, we can pray inside. No, we need to change the earthly atmosphere. That's why you have to open your mouth and speak it, because you speak a different rhythm into the realm. Yes, you make a difference in the spirit, but you don't change it in the atmosphere if you keep on praying inside. You need to pray out loud to change the rhythm around you in line with God's word that you're praying. That is what's important, that we pray out loud. It's not what you pray. It's the spirit of God that's flowing through you. The same girl that was got saved in that 7 days. When 3 days after she got saved, she said to them, she came running to this person. He said, she ran, said, I need that spirit, I need that spirit, I need the Holy Spirit, I need to speak in tongues. He said to her, Hawkeye, just stop. How do you know about tongues? She said, if people pray in tongues, you can fuse the spirit world. We know all the languages of the world, but that tongue, that language, you cannot figure out. You cause so much confusion in the demonic world if you speak in that language that you don't know what to do. She said, I need that. And I prayed with her and she started to speak in tongues. And her words was, when she started to speak in tongues, she said, what the hell is this? Why? Because she's so sensitive in the spirit. And there was so much power released. We don't realize the power that we release when we speak in tongues. And that's the reason why Satan doesn't want you to speak in tongues. Because he knows the power that you release. You change the spiritual atmosphere. And what happened was, that evening when she started to speak in tongues, there was an earthquake of 3.5 in that area. It's documented. It's not far-fetched. There was an earthquake of 3.5, and all she said is, he's losing his power, he's losing his power, and she prayed in tongues. He's losing his power, and she prayed in tongues. He's losing his power. An earthquake of 3.5. What happened in Acts? When they prayed in one accord, there was a shaking happening. I think it's Acts 4. He was losing his power. He was losing his power. The day she received her Bible, there was a tornado in the area, and she asked the pastor, how did you enjoy my mom's presence? It's a present that she sent us because I got saved. Her mom, the demonic force, sent a tornado, and one of the ladies just stood up and said, stop it, and the tornado stopped. Why? The mind of the Holy Spirit. I personally have often done that. I sit with my friend in a restaurant. We were just on our way to order something to eat, and there was a hailstorm coming. And I just experienced my spirit. This is not right. I stood up and I said to the hailstorm, stop it. I just said to my friend, excuse me. I walked up, came back, she said, what did you do? I said nothing. See, what we need to function in the Holy Spirit. Charlotte Cronk ministered in an area where there was a lot of farmers. And the harvest was just before they had to harvest everything. The fields were ripe. And she said, God, I'm so hot. Will you please send me ice cubes? And she had an open communication with God. And the next moment, the hailstorm was coming. And the farmer said, our crops are gone. If that hailstorm's coming, we've got no harvest. And she repented. Openly, in the middle of the street, she went on her knees and said, God, I'm sorry. I did not understand. I was selfish to ask for ice cubes. Forgive me. And she stopped the hailstorm. Are you functioning out of the spirit of God, or are you still fighting to change your mind? See, we struggle with our minds instead of saying, God, just pray through me. Just pray through me. So, what happened there with that lady with that witch? She was totally saved. But there was attack upon attack upon attack. But she knew one thing. If I can speak in tongues, I release power. They had to guide her afterwards and say, they wanted to make sure that she's got this right. Because they were afraid that she's going to speak in tongues and then just turn it into a curse into the demonic world. But she never did. Because she understood the power of God's grace. We need to understand who we are. We need to understand where we function from. And if we understand this, we will understand this scripture of covenant. Isaiah 58 verse 8. This is a powerful scripture. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will spring up speedily. Your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of Adonai as your rear guard. Ephesians 2:10. We are created in Christ Jesus. as you pray and your mind gets in line with God's Spirit, what happens? Righteousness, because God is my righteousness. I'm in right standing with God if I accept Him. So I'm in right standing with perfect love. So love goes before me. Then I can say, when I'm in a difficult situation, God, will you just go before me? On that scripture, on that basis, I can say, God, righteousness, go before me. I sat in front of a witch, Freemasonry, strong witch. She wanted to be in my presence. She wanted to sit and talk with me. But I'm not allowed to look at her, talk to her, or touch her. So why do you want to be in my presence? Because there's a safety. She feels calm. But if I speak to her, it's like a sword going through her spirit. When I look at her, it feels like I'm looking right through her. If I touch her, it's fire. I was working, not even ministering. Working with a lady that was training as a Sankoma. She got epileptic fits. It was absolutely demonically seizures. Nobody wanted to help her, so I was the only one to help her. And the closer I get to her, the more seizures she gets. Then I tip her out of the bank, and when she's out and away from me, it stops. When she comes back, it starts again. What's happening? Functioning out of your spirit. We need to come back in that. In the same village, Christian Retreat Center, a man came there. His wife died a few years earlier. And everybody thought he was doing well. He was doing fine. He was feeling okay after his wife's death. And there was a big cross that God said to them, they have to put up. So this man went to the cross. Now, at that cross, quite a few things happened. It's amazing what God was doing there. But he was walking up to that cross. And as he got closer to the cross, it was as if there was invisible glass. He couldn't go. And he said, God, what's happening? Nothing. And he started to fight with God. And God said, this is what you're doing to me in that place of your pain. You're blocking me out. I want to get in there. But he says, but God, I'm okay. God says, no, you know you're not okay. You're living a life of you're okay, but I know and you know it's not okay there. When will you allow me to get into that place? And he couldn't get close to the cross, this invisible glass. And he started to fight with God and he cried. And eventually he opened it up after a good fight with God. Now, I always say fight with God. I can promise you one thing, you're going to lose the battle. But that's when you're the closest to God. And he started to cry and God started to heal his heart. And he opened it up. And this invisible glass went out and we're gone. And he could get close to the cross. A few hours later, somebody else came to the cross and I said, this man is crazy. He was laughing so much, rolling on the grass. But he had to have the experience. For everybody, was okay. For him, he had this image, he's okay. But there was an area in his life where he did not allow the Spirit of God to get close. What area in your life are you blocking out for God? Where you think you're okay, and you're living for the world to say, yes, it's okay. We need to come to that place where there is perfect love. I was ministering to a group of people, and while I'm ministering to them, the glory of God came down like a cloud just on top of them. And I didn't, one of them realized that. I was standing in front of people. I was so under the power of God. I couldn't stand. I had to stop it because they couldn't handle the love of God that came in. Can you? If God Himself will step in, will you be able to handle that? Or would you reject it? See, it's easy to sit in the teaching and say, oh, that's nice information. But can you handle the presence of a living God? A woman was sick, and she heard about this retreat center, and they carried her. The doctor said she's not going to make the drive, but just give her her last wish. And they took her, it's a long story, just going to give some details there. I think she had MS. They carried her to the car, and they drive, and the driver kept her in his mirror, because he doesn't want to drive with a dead person in the back. So he kept on looking at her, and something strange happened. As they looked at her, it seems like she's giving hope. I think it was a 3 or 4 hour drive. When he stopped in front of this retreat center, she said to him, I'm going to climb out by myself. She couldn't walk. She got out of that car walking. But I think the end of the day, the end of the next day, she was totally healed. What they do is, as people come in and I start to talk to them, they don't counsel them. They bless them and they leave them either at the cross, or tell them to go to the cross or go to the chapel. They just bless them and then they leave. They move. Don't do anything else. Because they understand that the power of blessing comes from God. While they were praying, this one man was lying on his stomach. And while he was lying there, there was a little toddler child, 2-3 years old, walking around all the people. They didn't mind. And she just went and she laid over this man's legs. And for 3 to 5 minutes, all she said was, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. After that time, she walked around to meet somebody else. After the prayer meeting, he stood up, shouting. He had no pain in his legs, and his feet were straightened out. Just that little girl, lying over him. No fighting, No screaming, just perfect, perfect love. See, often we want to go to a spiritual warfare teaching. We want to go and know the demons. How must I fight this? How can I overcome this? What must I do to do that? And God says, get away from the tree of the knowledge that you perceived. And let's come back to perfect love. Because fear has entered into our spirits and we cannot function in our authority. So we go to all these things and we shout and we scream and we say, we've got authority and we function on that. And then we've got these backlashes. And it's just because there's fear in our spirit. That is why things don't submit to what you're saying. Because you've got fear in your spirit. And we need to come to that place. We can say, God, I'm willing to let go. I'm willing to stop this resistance that's there. And I'm willing to allow you to get to every area in my life. I know this is probably too deep for some of you and you don't understand. I'm talking right past you. I know, see, God will just walk through that. But my question today is, how honest are you with yourself about fear? You want to have authority. You want to have breakthroughs. But are you willing to say, God, will you step into every area in my life where there is fear to take that out? It's not about what you can do. It's not about how good you are. It's not about how much time you spend praying. It's how much love is inside of you. With this lady with the 7 days of the witch, only that is a greater and say, God loves you. Just that love. We need to change our minds. So if we look at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, if that is warped, if that is in the wrong order, it means you allowed fear to step in. God, as they were under this teaching, I want to bless them with the perfect love in the name of Jesus Christ.